Rob might have said in real life, he might have said nafak. He might have said that. I have no idea.
Why is everything in Aramaic?
The stories almost always take place in Aramaic in the Bavli. No. You take a look. If it's in a Brisa, you listen, you can actually test. I sent out the thing, and I have a new font, and I sent it in PDF. So I have a new font, and it's called, it's DBS Zohar. Don't read any mystical significance into it. It just happens to be a font that I felt fit enough on my profile, but it was sufficiently distinct. So I started putting Meisim in that, because Meisim might be sort of a different source level. Okay? And I think, go back and check them, but I think they're in Aramaic. You know, I think in a Brisa, you'll get the story in Hebrew. So you have the story of Binyamin Raya, and then Amar Rav Yotza, the Memra is as you would expect, and the rest of it's not Rav, it's the Gemara speaking for Rav. Okay. So let's read the Mishnah first. Okay, who would like to read the Mishnah? Yoni, can I read the Mishnah? And Daf Mem Amud Beis. In the Bavli, yeah. Okay, just a very brief comment here on vocalization, although I haven't checked the Kisvayad. There are two nuschos, Shehakol Nihiyebidvaro and Shehakol Nihiyobidvaro. The difference between the two of them is a question of whether or not it's past or present, or we might say perfect versus participle. What's that? Yes and no, because Motzi, I guess you could tie it to that. Nihiyeh, there the assumption is supposed to be in the past by Hamotzi, right? At least in the Bavli. In the Bavli it is. Which is which? So here's the way you remember. In normal Nifals, the Patach's in the past, the Kamatz is in the present. By the Lamed Hayes, the Kamatz is the past. So Shakol Nihiyah Bidvaro is past tense, and Shakol Nihiyah Bidvaro is present tense. Okay? So that is participle. Chaim?
Is there a possibility that the difference arose because of a scribal error in terms of the segel dots being very close to each other in terms of form?
I have a strong suspicion this is not at all related to scribal errors, but this is oral traditions.
Okay.
Pretty, Masoda Kriya, because most people, I mean, how many manuscripts were there? How many people reading out of texts? Right. I suspect this is Baal Peh.
Kaufman has it as Niyah.
Okay, right. I'm not surprised by that. But nonetheless, that's the difference between the two versions. Shlomo?
Why do we use this, Nasa? Meaning, Hamoti Lachaminaris is another one that deviates from the standard form of Borei something. Why isn't it Borei Hachol instead of Hachol Yimbro? And why are we...
And we do have a bracha Borei Hachol.
So I'll tell you why. Because... what's that? Part of it might be that some of these things the Bria, Borei is better for living creatures rather than plants. I don't know if Borei appears by the plants, but it definitely appears by the creation of the animals.
Somebody says Borei meaning nefesh, right?
Yes. Yes, but by something, in other words, I don't know. I don't know. Chaim?
Is there a possibility that it's that Bria is usually always followed by a definite item, such as Bara, Etashmaim Yataritz, or whatever it may be.
Or Seshalom.
Or a Etakol. I'm saying that's an Etakol, that's Nokol versus.
Yeah, okay, so you could have formulated the bracha that way. No, but the point is, they changed the pasuk and formulated it that way for euphemistic reasons, because it's uvare ra in the Yeshaya. But still, you could have said, boreas akol. I don't know. Do not know. So anyway, I'll davar shegid the lemaritz omer shak and ebedvara. Go ahead. Okay, next thing. Chometz is vinegar. Vinegar comes from
wine.
Generally, in their days, it came from wine. Today, we have all sorts of vinegars.
Rice. Specifically sour grapes, right? Like low quality?
Maybe. There are grapes that were probably used for that, but sometimes your wine turned into vinegar.
Right.
What's that? Okay. I guess if you leave it around a while. Or unrefrigerated.
No, it's pasteurized.
Well, I'm sorry?
It's supposed to be
refrigerated.
Why is that supposed to be refrigerated?
Once it's open,
open.
Once it's open, that's what I'm talking about. I don't mean when it's left, yes, I understand. But once you open it, if you leave it out, it's probably going to turn fairly quickly. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
So
that's chometz. Novalos are, well, you don't have to know that because the Gemara is going to discuss it, but it sounds like, what? I'm sorry. Fine.
Either wind-blown or sun-dried
dates. Okay, so one or the other, they're basically, novelos means literally wilted. That's what it means. Kisiyuk la novelas aleha. What? Kitsits novel, yes. So anyway, so they're obviously not dates in their ideal form. Finally, v'al ha-govai. And what is govai? Yes, now you added in kosher, and a number of the Rishonim say that, and you're making an assumption, of course, that if it were not kosher, you wouldn't make a bracha, which I believe maybe a machlokas the Rambam and the Ravid at the end of some parak of Hilchos Brachos.
Isn't there another...
Not parakas, earlier than that. There's a machlokas. The Rambam says that you don't make a bracha on anything that's asr to eat. The Ravid claims that only as regards to Zimun, not with regards to all other brachos, because if you're getting hana from it, so... the really interesting question would be the following, and as the Rambam might agree to this, what if a chola was sick and he had to eat only food he had was a tray of grasshopper? Would he make a bracha on it? Might be even the Rambam would be moded to that. It's not clear. Unless you say the chacham would never misaki to make brachas on tray of food. Okay, but the same shayla comes up, what if a chola eats on Yom Kippur? That's a discussion. Does he say yalla v'yavon benching?
If you're eating a non-kosher species, it doesn't mean that it's better if you do shrita on it. Right? So...
A grasshopper?
Let's say if you're eating a pig for medicinal purposes.
Yes.
Right. It doesn't help. To
correct. Okay. Fine.
But it doesn't mean you're not being nene min olam hazeh. So.
I understand. But anyway, so that's a machlokas harishona. But let's accept kosher grasshoppers for the moment. Chaim.
Related to the topic, if you were presented with a grasshopper that according to a certain Masorah is kosher, is the kosher type, would you eat it? I mean, or would you be allowed to eat it?
I'm not discussing that question now. It has nothing to do with what we're doing, so. Well, we mentioned the word in the Mishnah, al, so I have a question about another Mishnah in Maseches Kelim, Perek Chavdal, and Mishnah Vav, where it uses the word al, dealing with Frutzim and Kelim, okay? Thank you. All right, so anyway... Govai is the Aramaic word. It's probably an Aramaism for grasshopper. The Torah's words for grasshoppers are Arbe, Chosil, Yelek, Gazam. But I don't think Govai, I don't know if Govai appears anywhere. That's the Aramaic. What's that? What's Latzal? Yes, that's another one. It's good. Okay.
Does that doesn't make it more likely that we're only speaking about kosher ones, though?
I forget, Govai is a translation of one of them. Rashi may even comment on the Targum and Shemini on it, but I'll assume it's kosher. It's fine. Because we assume the person's eating kosher. Fine. So I'll Govai. So Omer Shakal Niyabidvaro and Rehud Omer.
Rehud Omer, kosher mean kol and Rebarakin Allah.
Okay, now 1 second. Now, here's the question that's asked. And this might be asked on the Gemara as well. The Rishonim ask, why not combine these all together? Al Dabar Shen Gedul Menaretz. Why is it broken up? And then when you read the Brice and the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, just for a second, Al Davar Shein Yidulim and Arts King Gombasar Behemoth Chayas Hosse Dagan, Omer Shakal Nebidvara, Al Chalav Al Beitzim Al Gvin Omer Shakal, Al Pashat Shor Yain Shein Hikrim Al Tav Shoshov Atiras Omer Shakal, Al Melchal Azamas Hakim Al Pitchers Omer Shahakal. Okay? Why not just list them all and say, you say Shahakal? So the comment, so in the Braisa that doesn't make sense, there's no Rabbi Yehuda. In the Mishnah you could say, in the Mishnah it's obvious in fact that there's overlap between the two because Govai is Davar Shein Gedulah Min Haaretz, right? Chometz and Novelos are Davar Shein Gedulah Min Haaretz, but there's different consideration there. So the Ritva writes, gives two answers, the Rashba gives one of them, but it's a very interesting answer. Again, it speaks about the redaction of Tanitic sources. The Ritva, what the second answer to the Ritva is that they're each for a different reason or a different topically, and that certainly fits in the Mishnah. First, you have the rule Davar Shein Gedula Min Haaretz, but now you have to deal with a subcategory of things that are Min Klala, some of which may be Davar Shein Gedula Min Haaretz, some which will be Davar Shein Gedula Min Haaretz. And so we say on these three things, the Chacham say make shakol, but, and of course, you have to also present the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda. The other answer that's given is that the Tana was collecting from different sources, and that's why he didn't lump them all together. Now, that's more relevant for the Gemara, where basically what the Rashba is saying is that the Tana has a brisa that says, on this he's sheshachin al-mivar, he has another brisa that says, on these things he's sheshachin al-mivar, and he's simply putting them together, which is an interesting statement of the way he views the redactional process of Tanaitic sources. The idea, contrary, let's say, to the Rambam at the end of the Mishnah Torah, at the end of the Hakdama to the Perasha Mishnayis, I think that's where it is. The Rambam there seems to assume that, let's say, when it came to the Mishnah, Rebbe was responsible for the formulation of the entire Mishnah. It's a little bit Nusnarian, except for he's reverent, and he believes that, of course, it's accurate. Not that Rebbe invented whatever he thought, but that the formulation is all due to Rebbe. Now, I think it's a very difficult position. There's no doubt I think that Rosh Hashanah Gaon is correct, not just because modern scholarship accepts Rosh Hashanah Gaon's position, because I think the data backs Rosh Hashanah Gaon. And the Rashba here, while not talking specifically about the Mishnah, is taking a similar approach, the notion that you have Tanaim, you know, dealing with multiple sources, okay, and simply combining them. Jeremy?
What kind of sources?
Tanaitic sources. He has a brises.
Proto-Mishnah, or what?
Proto-brises, call it. Yeah. Shalom? That's possible as well, but if you think about it, they do lump it, but, you know, logically speaking, first you get you get meat. What's that?
Once you're going to break it up, so, you know,
with, yeah, that may be true as well, but you could, now you see, but you could say the following: Val elu omrim shahakol colon, and that would solve your problem from a literary perspective.
Wouldn't help you breathe.
No, but the point is, the only reason you want to, you don't want to say I'll X and Y and Z and the you know, A, B, C, D, F, G, you say shahako because the reader doesn't know where you're going. If you say ve'elu, al elu omrim shahako, colon, then you avoid that problem. So there was another option. Eitan? Yes, maybe. The Mishnah in the first parak in Shabbos, ve'elu min halachos amru ba'aliyas Chananya ben Chizki ben Chananya ben Garan kash'alu levakro, v'shmon asadavar gosru bo bayom. Okay, and depending on how you read it, the possibility of the Gemara, it's not clear what accepts the Maskana, might be it's either following the previous 18 things in the Mishnayos, it could be the following 18 things in the Mishnayos. So that's the first one that comes to mind, but it might not be the only thing. When you think about the Braisa, Elu Dvarim Sha'adam Ocha Perestem, Abalam Asa, Ken Kastam Abab, Elu Haim.
Right?
So that is well, although we don't have a clear presentation of the brisa there. We have the Gemara, that's not as good of an example, but yeah. Jeremy?
On the other hand, to follow up on what Sean was saying, chunking is a generalization.
I'm not arguing with that. I'm just, in other words, there are many good reasons as to have done this. I'm telling you that Rashba's argument is compelling. I think that the Ritva's second teretz is a better teretz. It's more compelling, but it's interesting that you see how the Rashba viewed the process of redaction. That's all.
Anyways, so the fact that it's a different topic is not compelling?
Yeah, I think it is. But nonetheless, even with that said, you see the way the Rashba, the fact that he's willing to give the teretz he does is because he perceives the redactional process as being not the response, you know, the formulation is not necessarily the product of a particular Tana, but it's rather an amalgamation of earlier sources. Okay. That said, I want to turn our attention to the Yerushalmi now, because this is a fascinating Yerushalmi, and the Sugya, we're going to deal with a... I'll tell you, did anybody go ahead on the Bavli just to the top of the next Amud, or no? Okay, so I think what we'll do is we'll start. I should have thought about this before. The first Yerushalmi is simple, that makes sense to do. I feel almost we should go back. Maybe we'll do it anyway. It's not so difficult, and one of you guys will read. I want to read just to read the Bavli first until we get up to the issue that's in the second part of the Yerushalmi. Let's do the there are two halves. Oh, we didn't finish the Mishnah, Yoni. Finish the Mishnah. I'm sorry, I didn't let you finish. Go ahead. Translate this. How you the fun of Minim Harbe?
Okay, so if he had many different species of fruits in front of him.
What does that mean? You said it already. Right. Maybe they may not be the only possible approach, but you said of fruits.
I said fruits, right.
Right, another
I was influenced by the fact that afterwards it said Shiva Minim, so
okay.
It doesn't necessarily have to be fruits.
Okay. And it doesn't have to mean that those are the only choices in front of you. It just could mean if there happens to be a Shiva Samin amongst them, you make a Shiva Samin first. You might also be influenced by the Bavli, which the first opinion is that the Machlokis is Kishabir Koseim Shavos, which means you're dealing all with fruits, let's say. But that question has to be left open. Hayu Lefanav Minim Harbe. It's either dealing with Minim that all have the same bracha, or it's dealing with Minim that don't all have the same bracha. Okay, that's a pretty. I think if Wormuth would hear, he would agree from a philosophical perspective, from the rules of logic, that holds true. It's a complete set. It's either a case of Berchaseim Shavas or Ein Berchaseim Shavas. Fine. Now, so what's the din? Rabbi Huda say, the Chachamim say.
Rabbi Huda says, you make a bracha on the Shiva Minim.
Right.
If
there's a Shiva Minim there.
I'm going to say that you make a bracha on whatever you want.
You make a bracha on whatever you want. Now, there is another term that the Gemara uses, which is taken to be interchangeable with al-eze mehin sheyirtze. And one could question whether that's really the same term, but that term is chaviv. Chaviv. Now, it's yirtze. Now, the assumption I think must be shown that we're going to work with is that the reason why you want to make a bracha on this is because it's chaviv.
Yeah.
It might be clear. Yeah, well, the Gemara uses the term, and it probably is the same term. Yes, it's probably a substitution.
Aren't the Rishon would differentiate between chaviv achshav and chaviv in general?
Okay, but that's that. But I would assume for the but the chaviv in general is what I'm trying to in effect exclude.
But I'm saying there could be a case hypothetically where something is quote unquote my favorite food. But within a meal, I wouldn't...
I don't want this. Correct. So that might be chaviv generally, but not. Right. It's not ezem hin sheyirtzes. So the chaviv we're talking about in the Gemara is ezem hin sheyirtzes, the one that you want to eat now, whatever your particular reasons are. The only reason that would presumably not be legitimate for wanting to eat it now is because you think that it's the halachically appropriate thing to want. Right? That's the one thing consideration you have to put aside. Well, no, the point is that that's not called Shiyirtzah. The halacha says that you should make the brachas in Shiyirtzah. Presumably, according to the Chachamim, what that means is that that's the one you prefer, in which case you're supposed to make the brach on that. If you don't care, some Rishonim raise the possibility of, well, then you make on the Shiva Samina like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, but assume for the moment, if you like, for whatever your reasons, you right now would like most to have a bite of X, it's improper, according to the Chachamim, to go have Y, either which is or isn't of the Shiva Saminim, because you're supposed to make a bracha on Ezem Sheyirtze, but presumably, I don't know if the Rishonim say this, because that's what you're going to make a bracha Shleim on with, you know, Belev Shalem, because that's the one I want to eat, so that's the one I want to thank God over. Okay. So let's first, anyway, so we're going to have an extensive discussion about this issue. We have a little break here where the Rishonim don't get too involved in stuff, but the Rishonim are going to come back in full force on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph to deal with those issues. Now, for the moment, let's first just to take a look. Well, let's do the Bavli and the Yerushalmi before we get to those parts, and then we'll move on to the Yerushalmi and so on. So first read the, who would like to read the Yerushalmi for me? This is a very easy Yerushalmi, if you haven't seen it yet. Halacha Gimel, Chaim, go ahead.
Shinashru.
Nishru means
fell down.
We're soaked.
Oh, Nishru. Sharui.
Right, that's Shinrei should. Although there is an interesting machlokas harishonim or deus and tosus. on a Mishnah in Shabbos, Mishan Ashru Kela B'mayim, whether that means his garments fell off into the water, or Mishan Ishru Kela B'mayim, his garments got soaked in the water. Okay, obviously they must have fallen off because you're not allowed to chapchila soak them. So those two verbs, you know, can sometimes confuse you. But here
how
it's
how do you formulate falling?
Falling. Nashru was fell off.
And Nishru is soaked.
Nishru is they were soaked. Okay, the end result is the same, but how you vocalize and what the root is and so on, it differs. So ro novlos shenashru, he sees novlos which fell off. Omer. Yes. Yes. Shema Malchus. But which one strikes you as odd? One of them strikes me as a little odd, which just goes to show you that we have become so hyper anti making real brachas that we just like couldn't even relate to this. Hachmetz Yeno, I understand, there could be significant financial loss involved. Okay? It's not your house burning down, but it's like losing a part of your crop. Govai is significant as well. I mean, because when they're grasshoppers, you know, and I assume that's an interesting question in the Mishnah. When Rabbi Yehuda says you don't make a bracha and govai, does that mean if you happen to catch a grasshopper, it means at a time when there's a plague of grasshoppers and they've eaten through whatever, you know, grasshoppers or locusts, and they've eaten through whatever, and therefore you don't make a bracha. But if it's really good times and your grain's growing nice, then you have a grasshopper, you know, when you dip it in chocolate. So would he say you wouldn't make a bracha? Oh, okay, you make a bracha on the chocolate. You make haitz on the chocolate, yes. Okay. I don't think it's just the maka. I think it's they destroy crops. They destroy crops. So otherwise, if it were just because it once upon a time had been part of a maka, then you make a shahakal on it, and then you make shasanis and lavosenu or something like that, and you'd celebrate the miracle. Okay, but no, it's because it's a min klala. It still exists today. It still exists today in Africa, even out west. There's a problem
in
with
Israel,
in Utah.
In Israel, it just happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Right, they just didn't have pests. What's that?
People were trying to eat them.
Okay. Well, look, after they've eaten after they've eaten all your produce, all that's left to eat is them.
Maka, right? After they eat everything, then you eat them.
Right, well, why not? You know, so they took your protein, you take them as protein. Go ahead.
Why would you not make eights on the vinegar?
Why would you not make it? For the same reason you wouldn't make it on lechem shehikrim. Right. In other words, once it's no longer, and once it's you've already suffered a hefsed, it's no longer. You no longer make a boy priya to motzi lachem and aretz. You just make a shahakol because you nene, so you have to make a bracha, but you can no longer make a bracha. You know.
But if it were, let's say, it were made for the intent of making vinegar. You know.
Well, the truth is, nobody drinks vinegar anyway, so. So it's a tafel. That's a kasha, by the way, that I think the Baal HaTosa, some of the Shorim asked, how do you make a shakal comments anyway? It's not edible. If you take vinegar and you swallow it straight in Yom Kippur, you're pater. Right? So why do you make even a shakal? So talk about that issue. I think you come up with an anigron type teretz. Ayal? I don't want to say shinui. Again, I think we've seen clearly shinui alone is not enough to be the cause. I think it's because it's nifsad. I think because of minklala. Okay, yeah, but you know, and it's mamish something else now. It's completely transformed. Okay. I mean, in this case, it also has another shame. But you see, what are you going to say by dates? I think that's because it's sort of the novlos. I think that's a minklala. You know. What's that? That's not a shinui. Nobody would say that on dried dates or dried figs you don't make ha'etz.
Why?
So it's not because of the shinui, it's because it's not the way you'd like to eat it. Don't want to eat it. People like to eat dried dates and dried figs. I mean, people like them. But nobody wants the novlos. Right? So they come. You know, they happen. Things happen. Now, who is this statement? This could be almost a brisa in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi half the time doesn't tell you it's a brisa. Whose opinion is this in the brisa or in this gemara in the Yerushalmi? The Chacham or Rabbi Yehuda? It's obviously the Chacham, and they're responding to Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda says it's a min klal. They say that's very nice. So you make a dayan emes, and then you make a shakal. Because why? Because you're nana.
Would Rabbi Yehuda say that you make a dayan emes?
B'chora you would. make a dynamis, then you wouldn't make a bracha of Rosh Shackle. Okay. Yes. It's possible, but I don't feel compelled to read it that way. There's one strange thing about Rabbi Yehuda's position. What's strange about Rabbi Yehuda's position? They don't make a bracha on a minklala. It's against a different Mishnah, which is not Rabbi Yehuda's name, but you'd think it runs against his principles. What is that? No. Kishem Shemevarchan ala tova kach mevarchan ala ra. Right, and you're nene here.
No, but the way you're mevarach al hara is baruch dayan ha'emet.
I understand
it's not,
that.
It's not a bracha for
I understand, nene. But the point is that here, here on top of that, so fine, you're making diamonds, but you're nene. The fact that it's a min klala doesn't mean you shouldn't make a bracha on it. It's not said in the context of birchas hanenen. I grant you that. I understand, but the spirit of that Mishnah is that you have to give thanks for the bad, and you give like you give thanks for the good. It's a strange thing to us, but. That's a,
it goes either way.
No, but that that's a problem. It's hard to say. Well, but
no, sometimes
it's not saying thanks. I guess I shouldn't use that term. You bless God over the good, like you bless Him over the bad, right? Yes, that is one of the strangest halachas, which I suspect most people actually don't fulfill. That when a child loses his father or his mother, if his father's already predeceased and his mother has assets, first he makes a dayan ha'emes, and assuming he's yarshening, he makes either shechianu if he's only yorish. Or a Hatov HaMeitiv if he's a that's got
that's
you know siblings.
The
it's the same thing as Shechianu, which is Tov HaMeitiv Achirim. That's all. Hatov HaMeitiv is Shechianu when others develop. That's why you don't make Hatov HaMeitiv on Yayin when you don't naturally with anybody else. What? Well, Achirim. That's the way it's.
Right.
On.
It's just weird.
I know.
Think about it like
I know, and I'm sure the Rav had Rav probably had a field day with this.
He did actually.
I if I'm not mistaken, right? In other words, you just this plays right into this, you know. This very Litvish outlook, right? You know, a Litva, you say Hatov HaMeitiv. Because that's the only way you could possibly say it. I mean, unless the person hated his father, then, you know, he might be like Hatov HaMeitiv on the Petira. Right. So anyway.
No, the question would be if you hate your siblings and you don't want them to get the money.
All right, no. Okay.
Chas v'shalom.
Save your issues. Any issues you might have, save for outside issues. Okay. Anyway, now, what does the Bavli have to say about this? Let's turn back, okay? So, Shalom, you can read. We'll read on this. It's not, there's not so much lumdus here, but just want to read through the Gemara. So the Bavli says as follows. Yeah, go ahead. Notice the application of the term basar to chayus is no surprise. Dagim is a bigger surprise, but we do use the term.
It's even applied to govai. Right? Basar, dagim, v'chagavim. No?
Where?
In...
Oh, okay, yes. Yeah.
Kulin?
Yes. So...
Chapter...
So, eight.
Eight?
So, it means flesh. It doesn't mean basar in the classic sense of basar, right? There's no din of basar b'chalav. Incidentally, why is it that you're allowed to eat dagim if they don't have shechita? What's that? You sound like sounds like the reason why the mistaken reason why you don't have giraffes because we don't know what a shecht. You can shecht. If you can't get the right place on a giraffe, then you're a moron. Okay, you're an idiot if you try shechting a giraffe because they'll probably kick you once and kill you if it's not properly restrained. But nonetheless, the reason why there's no shechita on a fish is yes, it doesn't have siman to cut and there's no tradition of cutting it. There is a position, by the way, that's quoted in Yeridea. From the Gaonim, it might have been, I forget which one of the Gaonim has this, it might have been Eldad HaDani, you know, he's that little nutty guy who tells really funny shitos. Really, I mean, Hilchos Eretz Yisrael HaDani, he's like off the wall stuff. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Torah and Beis Yosef quotes some of the stuff, but I don't think this is his other stuff.
Was he one of the false messiahs?
I don't know. He claimed himself to be from Shevet Dan, I think.
Yeah, he counted as a Rishon?
We used to have such characters among Klal Yisrael today. I don't know. We don't have such characters in the Yeshiva anymore.
Of course we don't.
Okay. Anyway, so the quotes of Shitun the Gaonim that Dugim, if a Dug dies and floats up, it might be Usur, that you have to do Asif on a Dug. Right? Hatzon of Akar, and this is the Raya, by the way, that you don't need Shchita. Hatzon of Akar, L'chulei Alma. Yishachet lahem u'matzah lahem. Im es kol degei hayom ye asef lahem u'matzah lahem. You see that you don't require
Shchita. There's a whole sifra on why it is that you don't have to shout the fish. There's one. It quotes some opinion of some. I forgot who it was. It quotes an opinion of somebody who's like, you know, who says that you should have to shout the fish, and then it goes through all the proofs of why.
I don't remember. I don't know. I'll plead the fifth on this. Or, okay. Oh no, I'll plead ignorance actually. So there is a shita that says you need asifa, but it's clear from that pasuk anyway you don't need shchita. We assume it doesn't need asifa either, though you may not want to eat a fish for other reasons if it simply died on its own. What's that?
Anyway.
Well, that's not. But well, that'd be true even if you caught the fish. Okay. So anyway. What's that? Yeah.
I thought it was taught otherwise.
Because someone should have pled ignorance there as well. Okay, we don't shech giraffes, A, because some people, although I think this position is rejected and should be rejected, claims we don't have a mesorah, but there's really no serious basis for requiring mesorah about when you have split hooves and chewing its cud. Number two, the reason you don't shech the giraffe is because it's very hard to get a hold of one. And number three, because you need a very tall ladder and you might kill yourself in the process of trying to shaft the giraffe.
It's difficult because when they shaft cows, they turn upside down. When you turn a giraffe upside down, because it's hard, it's so powerful, tennis gloves.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
You don't have to turn it upside down. I think, by the way,
I'm going to bet you that's not true. That's an urban legend. And you know why I know? Because giraffes have to bend their head down lower than the rest of their body all the way to the ground. Now, granted, it's not lifted. I'm willing to bet you that's an urban myth. Okay?
If you lived in the country, you wouldn't think so.
Anyway, bottom line is that it requires shechita and it can be shechted. And any place between the larynx and above the stomach is kosher for shechita. Okay? The giraffe, from the perspective of getting the right place, the animal that's hardest to miss is the giraffe. Okay, fine. Anyway, if you're interested in reading more about that, what's his name? Ari Zivotofsky has written about this, and probably look in tradition and who knows wherever else where he's written about this. Okay. Anyway, so go ahead. So it's called Basar, but it doesn't have the status of Basar for Basar V'chalav and the like. Up until this point, Dr. Atkins was glowing in heaven or wherever he is. I don't know. I'm not going to make a... that's cute. Yeah, but what about Batesim? Okay. So, fine. Al Pasha Ipsha. Okay. What is Melach? Salt. What is Zamis? Okay. That sounds good to me. Kamehin. And Pitrios.
Fungus.
Okay, fine. So what do you make on these? Shahakal. Oh, Shah. And the Memra. So now I'm going to get some attention. The Memra. Okay, so you see that mushrooms and fungi are in the category of gidulei karka. Now, they're not peros ha'aretz, but they are called gidulei karka. Now, the truth be told, for the most part, I don't think they derive, I assume it's true by mushrooms, it's certainly true, obviously, by fungi, because they grow from rocks, too, that they derive their sustenance from the air. But I don't know if that's true, but they don't send roots into the ground. That, I think, is probably the issue. Yeah.
They derive their sustenance from the surface of the rock or tree that they or ground that they grow on, but
Some of them do.
But they don't typically, I guess the assumption they made is they don't send down roots. Technically speaking, fungi are not plants, right?
Right.
They're their own kingdom. And
spores.
And Chazal may have perceived something along those lines. They certainly don't look like typical plants and so on. So on these things, you make, they're called Gidulei Karka according to the Braisa. So the Gemara is Astira. So Amar Abaye. Which sounds like it means that they grow on the ground, but they not actually derive sustenance from the ground. So now the Gemara says, okay. So in other words, gidulo min haaretz, gidul means not that it grows, not gidulo al haaretz, gidulo min haaretz. So the Gemara says, you should say al davar she'eino yonek min haaretz. In other words, gidulo min haaretz could be considered, right? And as gidule karka. And which is this question going on? Right, no, so the Mishnah, when it says, in other words, it is called Gidula Min Aretz if it grows on the ground, but it's not called Yonek Min Aretz. And therefore, in the Mishnah, when it says Gidula Min Aretz, you should read it as Yonek Min Aretz, not Gidula Min Aretz, and that's why there's no contradiction. Incidentally, this sugya appears in the Durim as well, and you should take a look and see if you can figure out where it originated. Yes. I think so. Chaim?
Lamas, if one found a edible mushroom growing out of the ground and ate it, you should make a shakal, not a adult?
Yes. That's what the Mishnah says.
Okay. I mean, even nowadays, we say that.
Yeah. It's not a plant, even by scientific definition.
Yes.
It's clearly very, very, very different.
Yes, it is.
Okay?
Yes.
Fine. It's certainly not called Priha Adama, yeah. Right? Okay, then Va'ala Novlos, go ahead.
My Novlos would be there where we do the Adamar,
Bushmake, Kamra, Kamara, whatever.
Exactly.
No, you made a great scribal error, right? His eye skipped a line from one to the other. Okay? Because Bushlei Kamara, a Bushlei Kamara, one above another. The Charama, what are Bushlei Kamara mean? Word Bushlei means? What? Or? Ripen. It's both words are used. And Kamara is a biblical Hebrew word to be shriveled up, and where does it appear in biblical Hebrew? I don't think it's kinich merurach amav elachav, right? And Rashi there, I think, quotes an expression al komer shal zesim. There is, but however, that means that sounds more like being heated or something like that. But the sense of shriveling up is actually found orenu. Katanur, well, that may also be heating. Nichmaru, in Echa.
Omar, why wouldn't that be?
It might also be. I was somehow, I'm thinking about Safarum al-Smam Yereshay al-Kates, yes, I'm crossing the two. So it has something to do with heating. It's also the translation of Michvas Esh, I think, or Rashi may quote from the Targum. What? Chom, heat. Okay. So it's something that was shriveled up, burned by the sun. Okay, v'char amar. What is Zika? What does the word Zika mean in Aramaic? What? Throat? No. What? No. Yeah. Wind. That's what the word Zika means in Aramaic. Boy.
Somebody better make up a list of the
500
most common Zika. Yeah,
Not to be confused with the Hebrew Zika, which means
right.
A connection. A Zika in Aramaic means Ruch.
Zika.
If you learn Tanis, you see Yerucha probably. Zika is not a word. The if I'm not mistaken, all the Aramaic Targum we have, I don't think they use the word Zika. It's a Bavli. It's probably a Bavli Aramaic word. But it's, in Meseches Tainus, it's very common.
Okay. Has it influenced or been influenced by Valid Zikin?
I don't know what those Zikin, I think, are not winds.
Right, they're not, but they are forces of nature.
Probably not. Probably not. Are those Zikin, are they shooting stars or something like that? Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara says. Right. However, Ella. Well, it's not a min klala. In other words, these ones happen to fall off. What's that? So the answer is. Okay, Rabbi Huda disagrees. Only on the other ones. So is the wind blowing certain things off the tree, and typically they're probably close to ripe, otherwise they're on much harder. Like when you go berry picking, for example, one of the things you know is that when it's hard to get them off, it's usually because they're not ripe. Okay, when they're fully ripe, they usually come off very easily. So it means, so that's a typical part of the process. The wind's going to blow some off. It's not a min klala. It's not like they never made it, you know, it's not like they were damaged on the tree before you ever got anywhere. So the Gemara says Hashar, it goes on the rest of them. So that's one. Ikadamre. Levaruchai. Right? In other words, if you say that it's bush like kamra, so they're never properly formed, and that's why you make a shakal on them. But if you say that it's peiros hanoshrin, so you make haitz on them as long as they're edible, and you're going to presume that's why you're eating them. So it's a regular. What difference does it make that the wind blew them off? They ripen. They fell off the tree. Okay, so they have a little dirt on them. Big deal. Even if you're not following the 5-second rule. Go ahead. The bush lay kamran in him. Okay, now what's going to happen in this Gemara is you had a machlok eso amorayim. With regards to something to do with an ovlos. Okay? We know what the machlokas was. One of them said bush lekamer, one of them said tamrei dezika. Originally, the Gemara here thought that they spoke about it with regards to our Mishnah. Now the Gemara realizes, no, it was with respect to a different Mishnah they had a machlokas, namely a case which happens to be novlos tamara. And what does the Mishnah say there? The Tanan. Okay, now, hold on. End of Mishnah. Okay, Kalin Shibanai. What is Danai, firstly? Eitan, what is Danai? Tell us.
We don't know if Shemai Masr has been taken
on it. I refine that definition. Chaim? You don't know if Meisers have been separated from the Meisers contained in Trumas Meiser, right? Rov Ame Oretz Arma Asrin, but a minority were not, and I think Yochanan Kohen Gadol was Gozer on the Alat Mai, and therefore you have to be Choshesh if the person is not a Nem on Alam Asrus, you have to separate Trumas and Meisers. Okay, so that's called the Mai. There were certain things, however, that the Ame Oretz did that. Why did they do it? They knew to separate Truma. Why did they know to separate the other things? It's not that they didn't know, they chose not to. Why? Because it was expensive. And they figured, what's the big deal? Well, you've given to the Truma to the Kohen anyway, so it's not such a big affair to eat it. They assumed they weren't Chayim Mis at all for eating Teva. When in fact, they didn't realize that there was Trumas Maaser contained within it. And as long as you haven't separated the Maaser Rishon containing the Trumas Maaser from the batch, you're still Chayim Mis B'Dishamayim. If you haven't separated the last Maaser, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, then you may get Malkus, but you don't get Mis B'Dishamayim. So the Ame Aretz, obviously no one was giving them Malkus, but they were concerned about Misa B'Dishamayim, but they didn't know. So they didn't separate Maaser Rishon, many of them. Not a majority, but many of them didn't. So. Once you separate the Trumas Maaser, you can. It's Mamon Levi'im, but the Levi has to prove. What you do with the Mai is that the Maaser Rishon, you separate the Trumas Maaser from, you give it to the Kohen for him to eat. Theoretically, you should have been able to sell it to the Kohen, but for such a small amount, we don't let you do that. And then the Maaser Rishon, you keep yourself and eat it. And if the Levi wants it, he has to bring a Raya, the Amaretz wasn't Maaser. Your Maaser Ani, you do the same thing with. If it's a third and sixth year, you separate the Maaser Ani and you keep it yourself. Why? Because again, the Ani has to prove that it's his in order for that you're a Chayim in it in order for you to have to give it away. Otherwise, you don't have to. And then, finally, Masa Sheni, if it's a Masa Sheni year, so then, or if you lived at, or if you're a Targum Pseudo Jonathan, in which case Masa Sheni is every year, even the years that you have Maserani, it's a very funny Shita. So then you separate the Masa Sheni, you podent, and you eat it in Yerushalayim because there's no real Hefseid, it's yours anyway. Okay, now, there are certain things that the Mishnah says are called a Kalin Shibinamai. They're the things that we're makel on. We're makel on them because these Peiros, generally speaking, there are two interpretations. One is that they were not so valuable and therefore the Amei Aretz were not Chashudim on Trumas and Maisers. That means, though, that if you know for sure the Amei Aretz wasn't Ma'aser, you have to separate the Trumas and Maisers, the Maisers from it. The Yerushalmi, however, seems to understand differently. I don't think it might have been a Machlokas in the Yerushalmi, but there's definitely one day in the Yerushalmi, if not the standardly assumed opinion, that these things, Mistama, come from the Hefker, and therefore there's no problem with the Mai. But that means, even if Vadai, they didn't have Trumas and Maisers separate from them, you still don't need to separate anything, because anything that's grown is Hefker, so there's no, even if you now get it from an Amaretz, so it's part of from Trumas and Maisers. Correct, but kalin shebet demai means, you're right, so what it means in this case is if you don't know whether trumas or mice, if someone tells you that he grew this domestically and he didn't separate trumas and mice from it, then you have to separate it. But since that's normally, and most things, most kinds of produce we assume were grown intentionally, and therefore there's a shaila whether it's demai or whether it's misukan. But these things, when it says a kalon shem b'demai, why are they kalon? Is it kalon because the amar it's mistama was maaser, or are they kalon because mistama they don't require trumas and maasers in the first place, right? There's still an element of suffix. Maybe they were grown domestically, right? Okay, so now it's gonna, the mishnah, and it might be one of the first mishnayos in demai. Yes, it is the first mishnah in demai. A kalon shem b'demai was the Tana of demai was modern Orthodox. He started out with all the coolest. Okay? Just kidding. What's that? Okay, well, then he became Baal Tshuva.
But they stopped reading right, before just they got to the Qumran.
Just kidding. Anyway, so the Mishnah lists a series of species. When I taught this in my shiur at home, so of course I had Felix in one hand. I don't have Felix here now with me. But anyway, here the Gemara at least is going to provide us with interpretations. I'm not that concerned about it for the moment. So the Gemara says, go ahead. Shitin. All right, it's a kind of fig. Fine. Rimen. No, yeah, I keep falling for that one. Kande. Whatever that is. Okay? I should have brought my Aruch, I'll say Aruch Shasin. It's on my. It's on the table. What? Do they have the pictures all here, or? Not going to bother right now with it. Well, so anyway, Kande. We all know what that is. Fine. Move on. Uzradin. Toshe. Everybody knows what that is, too. Now, the only interesting question here is this all part of Rav Abachanan and Rabbi Yochanan, or is this the stomach of the Gemara speaking? Because in the first one we have Rav Abachanan and Rabbi Yochanan, is it just understood or not? Because the next one, go ahead, is Chana and Rabbi Yochanan Chivarta, right? A base medrash bracha would say Chivarta, but probably it's Chivarta. Okay, it's Ches Bavresh is the root for white figs. Okay, then Benos. Duvle, okay, whatever that is. Then, Shilei Gufne. So Rashi says, Shilei means the end of it, means the grapes that really sort of don't even ripen, or they're fall grapes, they never really ripen, they're used, I think, for chometz. Okay? He says, Anavim Sitvanios, and Sitvanios in the Tosefta is, it's chometz Sitvanios. So right, but sometimes wine turned into vinegar anyway.
Right.
Some grapes just didn't produce anything that you would call wine. Yes. Okay, then
Nitzpah,
you know what nitzpah is. I don't know what parcha is, but you know what nitzpah is, right? What? You know what nitzpah is. Almine nitzpah? Caper berries. The caper bush. Okay. It's been a while. Okay, yes. Well, we got very intimately connected with our caper bushes last semester. Okay. Shalom obviously didn't have enough of the berries. Okay, fine. We'll have to go get more. Fine. Now, finally, the punchline. Novlos Tamara.
Really.
Okay, does it look like a familiar machlokas amoraim? Sure, it's the same one we saw earlier. In other words, there was a tradition that there was a machlokas amoraim in explaining novlos. So initially, the sugya here thought it was talking about novlos in the Mishnah Brachos, and then they say no, it's novlos in the Mishnah in Dabai. Okay, and so now the Gemara says, go ahead. Akalin shibidmai, namely. And what's the bushle kamra are something that are not hefka, right? They grow on the trees, but something happens to them. You might gather them, but you might not be machped either. In other words, they're not that valuable, so you might separate shumas and maisas from. What's the status with peiros anoshrin? They're generally assumed to be hefka. When peiros anoshrin, certainly by the edge of a field, people are not usually machped by them. They don't bother with them. And therefore, doesn't matter, even if you know shumas and maisas weren't separated from them, they wouldn't fall in that category. So the Gemara says as follows: assuming not like that day in the Yerushalmi, b'shlam elamanda amar bush lekamra hainud kani akalin shabedemai, namely, if you're calling it the mai, what's the din? Sveikon, havadon. In other words, the kalin. I mean, you assume that trumas and maisus are separated from them, but if you know otherwise, and it's demai, but it's the mai we're making on because we assume the amar are separated. But if it's not, if it's vadai, so then you chayiv. That makes sense. Ela lamanda amar. Hefkerinu. So what's going on? So the Gemara says, a tremendous chiddush. Shasan goren. Now this is a case where you took them and you made them into a goren. You made literally a silo. You made a collection of them. And because it looks like peiros that you've grown and collected, it doesn't look like it's hefker. Apparently, there's a din that it's chayiv in Trumas and Maisas Midrabanan. So the Gemara explains to Amar Yitzchak. Yeah, if an ani collects like a shechem pay enough, and he processes it the way you process a goren, it looks like he's got produce that he gathered. Even a like a shechem pay is part from trumas and maestros. Nonetheless, midrabanan they require him to separate trumas and maestros. Now the Gemara says on the flip side. In other words, if it's the same species in the Tumas Shmaya, then why is it in one case referred to as novlos, and the other one it's referred to as novlos tamara? So, the Gemara says the answer is kasha. But we don't know the answer to the question. The Rush somewhere, I think, in Brachos quotes the Gaon and would say the difference between kasha and tyufta is kasha, there is some type of a teretz for. Tyufta, there is no teretz for. As a general rule, we don't usually pass, even after you've been, you know, upshlug with the kasha, we also don't accept the particular, we don't accept that particular shita. Okay, fine. Any questions? Right. Okay, is that where it is? Is that where this rush is? I bet you that's where it is. Okay, there you go.
Even if we do say tiyuvta, though, it's not necessarily a complete rejection yet until you say tiyuvta.
Mehilchasa?
Again.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. No, that's just so we can pile on. Okay, in case you found the teretz for the first one, I guess. Okay, good. So tomorrow we will resume on halacha. We're up to... We were in the middle of a simon about if you... benching where you ate and if you left. So it's like kuf pei gimel or something like that. And we will go on, hopefully, a few further simon there. We're going to get into the nusach of birchas hamazon and things of that nature. Okay?